Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening, and again, welcome this Wednesday night, January 20th, 2015, to, as it said, Hope is Alive, and we'll bring everybody on. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening.
Thank you for joining us, and good evening, Mr. Cox.
Good evening, Richard and Chris. Great to be with you again.
Thanks for joining us, and Chris, I'll, again, like we've been doing, I'll keep an eye on the phone lines, and when you get your callers, I'll sure let you know.
It sounds good. Let me check, Mr. Cox, to see if that verse is still there. Luke 10:19. Yep. Yep, it's still there. Behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall any wise hurt you. All the power of the enemy. You want to start with that?
That's always a good one, Chris, and yes, I've heard that scripture before. That's probably one of the most major scriptures we hang our hat on at Deliverance Ministries Incorporated here in Oklahoma City in terms of doing deliverance, that is, exorcisms or casting out of evil spirits. And something about that scripture that's supernatural, that when you memorize it and you let it sink down into your spirit man, and it becomes part of you, that you buy it as a truth, well, then you have total security to step in the demonic world and blow those things away. I bought that scripture more than three decades ago, and it has become part of me. And we stand on the word, and when we do and speak it, the word performs itself. It never returns void.
Amen. And I just looked that word up in Strong's, and it means all, any, every, and whole. All manner of, all means, always, any, every, everyone, and as many as, thoroughly, whatsoever, whole, and whosoever.
That covers it.
Good. Well, one thing I wanted to start off with tonight while we're waiting on our first guest to call in is to, let me find my notes here.
By the way, Chris, I was just going to say, I was listening to the man that called in on the prayer show just before us here, and said he was studying for his amateur radio license, and of course, that hits home well with me. I've had my advanced class amateur radio license, now for 68 years, so I'm glad to hear him studying for it. It's been a great hobby through the years.
Yeah, I'm having trouble with the math with you. You know, you're 50 years old. You've been doing this ministry here for 30-some years. You've had your license for 42 years. It doesn't add up.
Well, actually, it does add up. I just don't put it all down on paper. Figure it out.
Oh, okay. Well, I wanted to start with Psalms 119, 133, where it says, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." We talked before about God's order and how important God's order is for maintaining, I think, deliverance and maintaining a walk without Satan attacking you. It seems like when you step out of order, when you step out of that covering that God's given you, which is God, Jesus, the husband, the wife, and the children, then your target.
Yes. Order is very, very important, of course, and something all Christians need to observe. But yes, you're right on. It's a major area.
Well, 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." And it's from the same man that set down the order. I'm not only talking about the order within a family, but order within a church. I think a lot of churches are out of order, people within the church, with the elders or the pastors, and I think that causes a lot of problems and invites in a lot of entities, unclean entities, that generally wouldn't be operating there if we were in God's order.
I think that's right, Chris.
Well, good. Would you like to start with any stories or anything while we're waiting on our first caller? Talk about maybe
well,
order
I had
to church.
Well, great ministry session Monday night. We did a total of 19 people that came from, there were several, I think it was four from Texas, and I ministered to a lady that flew in from New Jersey. And you know, there's something about when they come from afar, it's always great, great ministry. Kind of like the woman with the issue of blood. She knew if she could get there to where Jesus was, and she could press her way through the crowd and reach out and touch even the hem of his garment, that something would happen. And it did, of course. The power came out of Jesus, and she was healed of that issue of blood. And that's what we see constantly, is that people do have to reach out. It is a major prerequisite. Occasionally, there's someone that's brought to Deliverance Ministries on our Monday night session, and they're brought by someone from the family or a spouse or someone, and they don't want to be there, or a young man, but the family thinks he needs deliverance. Well, it doesn't work because God will not go against self-will. Now, the exception of that is a child, probably under the age of 18, where they're still under the spiritual authority of the parent. It does work then. But when a person is in the adult class, they're their own entity at that point, spiritually, and if they don't choose to want to be free, God will not go against self-will. He'll not force it on them. Well, this lady obviously came from afar, all the way she flew from New Jersey to Oklahoma City for ministry, and stayed in a motel that Monday night. And of course, we had great ministry. She got a wonderful overhaul at inner healing of traumas and events of the past, which of course one of the doors that evil spirits are right in on. And Jesus supernaturally heals the bad feelings with those memories. That's part of the process we go through. And it was just an exciting ministry. It took, I was one of the last ones to leave, but I wanted to be sure, you know, we don't get a second shot with someone that comes from that far, and I did everything I knew to do with her, and we went right up to about 11:15, so it was a very full evening, and I think I was about the last one to finish up, but I'm still on a high from Monday night. It's that's what something we ministers and the teams that helped me that have gone through our training, we're all on tremendous highs after God will use little us. But we're Christians. That's all it takes, being born again. But God will use little us to see someone's life turned around. That's an awesome thing, Chris.
Well, just like the lady coming from New Jersey, like the Canaanite woman who came to Jesus, and the disciples said, "We want us to send her away." And she stayed, and she says, "Even the scraps from the Lord's table or the Master's table." And he said, "Your faith has made you whole." So that's an act of faith. And when someone is drugged to a deliverance session, basically is they have no desire to come into order.
Yeah,
well, I think that order is important.
Well, guys, we have a caller. Good evening, caller. Welcome to the program.
Jim, is that you?
Hello. Yes, it's me.
Yeah, Jim.
Everett, Chris.
Yes, hello, Jim.
Good to
hello,
have
Chris.
You on board.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing good. Mr. Cox is taking good care of me.
He always does. Good to talk. Good
well,
to talk with you again, Chris.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, Jim, I was happy that you elected to come on with us here tonight, to knowing your background and how you've seen this works of Jesus to be a reality and helping people in this modern day. So I wonder if you could just kind of share on how you saw the reality of this, and how even now today you're a team leader.
You know, oddly enough, Everett, I came to the to the knowledge of this through through yoga, and I know now about yoga, but I didn't then. My wife and I took a yoga class, and we had tremendous negative reactions to it. My wife, after the class, we only took one class, and my wife, who never had a headache, had a headache night and day for 2 weeks. And we were in Jacksonville, Florida, working on a project during that time, and we had rented an apartment there, although we live in Oklahoma, central Oklahoma. And so we had communion in our apartment about 2 weeks later, and the Lord delivered her from the headache during the communion service. And revealed to us that it was a direct result of the yoga class. And and my back started hurting, my lower back. And back in those days, the denomination that I was with taught that, and still do, they teach that if you are washed in the blood, you can't really have any demonic problems. And, you know, it sounds logical, it's just not true. I wish it were true. but they just refuse to acknowledge that that demons or evil spirits can cause problems to Christians. And so consequently, when we know we have an enemy, John 10:10, the thief comes not but to kill, steal, and destroy. And if we ignore the enemy, he'll run over us like a Mack truck. And so we all have an enemy. And he works through our minds. He speaks in our minds. And so I had this this back problem coming on, and we'd go to my wife and I would go to the beach and walk, and I couldn't hardly keep up with her. And she's a lot shorter than I am. And so the Lord revealed to me that that back pain was a direct result of the yoga class. And so we went back one Saturday to the apartment, and I told my wife to go in the apartment. I was going to walk around the apartments. steps, and as I started walking, I started renouncing yoga. I said, I renounce yoga in Jesus' name. I renounce yoga in Jesus' name. And by the time I made the trip around the apartments, my back stopped hurting, and it's never hurt since. And that's been years ago. It's been years ago. And so I realized, the Lord revealed to me that the reason that I had the back pain was because even though I was a Christian, I opened the door to the demonic by going to the yoga class. Mm-hmm. See, yoga is thousands of years old, and it's right out of Hinduism, and the yoga instructors in India teach that if you practice yoga long enough and strong enough, then you're introduced to the creator of the universe, whose name is Brahman. So through the yoga experience, I came into the knowledge that the Christians can be bothered by that other kingdom. By that other kingdom. I called Everett right after that. I'd met him years earlier, and I didn't know him, but I met him years early, and so I joined him. That's been about almost 9 years ago. And it's been a thrill to see people helped by dealing directly with the problem rather than the symptoms.
And Jim, didn't you find out also that on the yoga that, of course, you hear people say, well, I don't do the chants and all, I just do the exercise for exercise. And it was found out that those exercises are actually a tribute to the Hindu gods and consequently adore. Didn't you discover that in your research?
Yeah, the positions in yoga are designed to attract people's spirits in. That's why when people say, well, we do Christian yoga, or we do, Everett and I were talking a couple of weeks ago, and someone asked him, what about holy yoga? And yeah. Everett said, well, what's holy yoga? And she said, well, we pray while we're doing yoga. And Everett and I decided that it would be similar to say, what about holy adultery? We pray while we're committing adultery.
Yeah, right.
So,
well, Jim, though, you had another experience. I remember you telling when you were at the point of not believing that Christians could be tormented by evil spirits, but you wound up ministering to someone that you knew was a Christian. Why don't you share that?
Yeah, he came up from Houston, and this is after the yoga experience. So I was convinced that this was true, and so he came up from Houston. He told me he had been a Christian for 25 years. I'd known him for years, and a good friend, and he had in fact had taught in a Bible class for years, and he told me that he had two dark spots in him. He asked me the question. He said, Jim, can a Christian be demon-possessed? And I said, no. And he said, well, I've got two dark areas in me that are tormenting. And I said, well, do you want to talk about it? And he said, no. But later he contacted me and came up for ministry, and I was just really green. But I met him in my my conference room, and he brought a friend of his with him who took notes. I call him the scribe, and his eyes were as big as saucers when he saw, the scribe's eyes were as big as saucers when he saw what his friend went through, but he was relieved of eight demonic spirits, and they named themselves as they came out. And they drove back to Houston the next morning. And he called me, that was on Friday, he called me on Monday, and he said, Jim, I had to leave my bedroom because I would wake up laughing all night long, and I would be bothering my wife. I had to go sleep on the sofa. And he was just so filled with joy and relief and freedom that it was astonishing to him. So that was really my first real strong experience in helping someone through deliverance. And it was remarkable.
I still remember that day that you called me, Jim. How long ago has that been now?
That's almost 9 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
Almost 9 years ago. I told you. I said, I met you, Everett, about 20 years ago. You won't believe this, but I said, I thought you were far out. I thought you were on the fringes, but I said, I'm coming into agreement with you. I think you're exactly right. You said, well,
He is far out and on the fringes. He's just on the right fringes.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I had another case that you might be interested in. This is a lady that's in her 30s who has a college degree. She and her husband and worked for an attorney general's office in a city in Oklahoma. A real sharp young lady. And they had a little girl about 6 months old that they dearly loved, this man and his wife. And she said she started, they were following the case, the Casey Anthony case in Florida where the mother killed the little girl, her little girl, to rid herself of the parental responsibilities. They had been following that case. And they were in a restaurant when it came down through the court system that the girl was the guilty. And so she said, I turned to my husband and she said, I said to him, I don't know how anyone could kill their child. She said, at that point, I heard a voice that said, oh, you could do that. And after that, the voice started getting stronger and stronger and telling her to pick up the butcher knife and use it on her baby. And she said, I love my baby. I don't want to do that. I love my baby. And she said, the voice turned into an urge. And she was afraid she would do something to her baby. One night she was out driving around afraid to go home because she was afraid she'd follow through with the urge. And her mother, her husband worked nights. And she came in for ministry and was delivered from that tormenting spirit during the ministry session. But that's how cruel
the
enemy
really
is.
That would have to really be a tormenting spirit. I mean, that's like the... be one of the hardest ones to deal with, to think that you're hearing that and knowing that it's not you.
Knowing that it's not you.
Yes.
That's probably a spirit of murder. But she was relieved from that, and that's been about 3 years ago. But, you know, you hear people say, I don't know how someone could do that. And it's because they don't have the same demon spirit that the people that are doing that have. That's why we can't relate to it, sir.
There's examples of that all around us. All you got to do is watch the 6 o'clock and 10 o'clock news, and there's more examples.
That's true. That is true.
Jim, when I was in Oklahoma, you gave me a paper, and I would like to cover a couple of things on that paper that I thought that have been very powerful for us. One is you talk about perish the thought. Would you discuss that for just a minute for our audience?
Be glad to, Chris. We know that we have an enemy, and we know that the battle is always in the mind. And there are three sources of thoughts. There's God's thoughts, there's our thoughts, and there's the enemy's thoughts. And one of his greatest weapons is to make people believe that his voice is their thoughts. And so during ministry we teach people when they can always recognize the enemy's voice because it contains shame, guilt, accusation, mad at God, retaliation, unforgiveness. All that toxic junk is his voice speaking. But we pick it up as our own thoughts because he doesn't say, he says something like, he uses the I word rather than the you word when he's talking to people. I'm no good. I'm a loser. I may as well shoot myself rather than you. And we think it's us, and we start coming into agreement with his thoughts and to agreement with his plans for our life because we think those thoughts are us. So we teach people in ministry to perish the thought and take them through a prayer. And it's really a covenant with Jesus that when they say, perish the thought, Jesus extinguishes the thought for them. And this is a way of renewing their mind. I've given this to hundreds and hundreds of people, and I have never had anyone say that it doesn't work. They always say it works. It's powerful.
One of the worst things is when someone is given thoughts and they think it's God speaking to them.
That's true. That's exactly right. But the thought life as we know, a big deal, and I think that's why Paul said, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of a good report, think on these things, because what we think on is the real us.
And to cast the real us. Cast down vain imaginations.
Exactly. 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us to cast down imaginations.
Yes.
The me that I see is the me that I will be. In other words, the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So it's all about what we think. But perish the thought works.
And the enemy is really good at this. The lie program is so prevalent. In fact, on occasion when I get a demon up that I can interrogate, I'll find out that lie program is always there. I'll even have it give me the top 10 lies that it's speaking into the person, and even admits that they're lies. And I'll show that to the person later and reverse them. Well, that'll make a guy feel better right off.
Jim, another powerful thing that you gave me, where you said, I forbid the enemy to operate through, and you name a person, against me today in Jesus' name.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that worked is because Jesus won the victory over the devil on the cross. We know that. And then he transferred that victory to you and me in Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power and authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy. So when we make a declaration, when we make a command, when we forbid the enemy to do something or direct him to do something, he has to obey. Because we have, as Everett points out, we have all power over all of the power of the enemy. So when we forbid the enemy to operate through someone against us, all that's left is their humanness that day. We have to do that on a daily basis because we're on a 24-hour system in this world. But that works. I had a lady that I saw in the foyer of the church that had been in for ministry, and she said, Jim, my oldest son has moved back in with me, and he cusses, and he's loud, he's obnoxious, he's a bully. And here's what she said to me. I have been praying that God would shut him up, but so far God hasn't done it. I said, are you using the third tool? And she said, what's that? I said, between your mattress and your toothbrush, every morning you should be saying, I forbid the enemy to operate through my son today in Jesus' name. She said, I'm going to dig those tools out. And she called me 2 days later, and she said, I started saying that a time or two in the morning, and he's become an angel. I hardly know he's in the house. It's amazing how it works, if we work it. If she had taken the sheet home, and she had taken the sheet home and put it in a drawer somewhere, and she wasn't using it, so she said, I've been praying that God would stop him, and God has not done it. Because God is depending on her to do it.
Well, that fits with the third thing on the list you gave me. It says, if it's the enemy, prayer won't work. Which I thought was such an eye-opener for me.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
If it's the enemy, prayer won't work.
Yeah, that's because He has commissioned you and me to take care of the enemy. It's a waste of time to pray that Jesus will do something about the enemy. Jesus has already done all he's going to do about the enemy. It's up to us. And a lot of Christians think, well, if Jesus sees what's going on in my life, and if he wants to change, he'll change it. No, he won't. Jesus will put up with the devil in our lives as long as we will, for years, and won't do anything about it. The good news is, once we stand up and forbid the enemy to do something, we have all the backing that heaven has. So it works.
Yes. Yes, we have all power if we use it.
Right.
And many Christians are not.
Well, I'd like to go ahead and cover the last thing on that list you gave me, and the example that you gave with it, if you would share it with our audience. And it's, if this is the enemy causing this, I command this to stop in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Right. If something's coming down the pike and you don't know if it's God or the enemy or circumstances, you can say with your mouth, if this is the enemy causing this, I command it to stop. And if it's the enemy, it'll stop. My daughter was in Florida a few years ago, and she told me on the phone, she said, Dad, I've been itching all over for 2 weeks, and I don't know what it is, and I've got a doctor's appointment tomorrow. And I said, I don't know if it's the enemy, but just say this, Debbie. If this is the enemy causing this, I command it to stop in Jesus' name. And she said it one time, and it all stopped, and she canceled her doctor's appointment. But see, she put up with it for 2 weeks, so Jesus put up with it for 2 weeks.
And there are Christians listening that have been putting up with it for years.
That's true.
So it's wonderful to get hold of this.
Well, it's just, you know, it kind of comes under the heading of spiritual warfare, and it's a thrill to see it work, and it always works.
Yes.
Jesus
has commissioned
us. Jim, I want to thank you for being on the line with us. We've got our next caller ready to come online. Anything you'd like to close with?
Chris, thanks for having me on. The Lord bless you, and we'll chat with you again sometime.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye now.
Blessings to you, Jim. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
And,
Darcy, or...
Yeah, good evening.
Darcy on the line?
Yes.
Oh, hi, Darcy.
Hi, Everett. How are you?
Oh, good. I'm so glad you called in. We were talking earlier, and I'd asked Darcy to call in tonight. I know she's been and seen the results of deliverance work in her family and for quite a few years. So, Darcy, how about sharing how you first got introduced to this works of Jesus called deliverance, and how you've seen it work, and whatever you might have as a testimony.
Well, my relationship with you, Everett, goes way back to the early 80s, when you used to perform deliverances at the different churches. And Tom Massey, who was a really close friend of yours, actually officed at in the same office that we did. And John and I actually went with you one time to Tulsa and were witness to a deliverance that you did there. And we knew nothing about it. And we were both thoroughly impressed, but we really didn't, other than what Tom had told us, we didn't really know. I just remember thinking, on the way home, I asked my husband, I said, do you think maybe we need deliverance? And, you know, and we just kind of left it at that. And then over the years, of course, you know, life happens, and there was a lot of things happening in my life and that I couldn't explain and couldn't seem to break, and depression and marital problems and problems with the children and everything. And my sister-in-law had taken her son to you, and we had seen a miracle in his life. He was a small child at the time. I think he was around 7 or 8 the first time you prayed with him. And the door opener for him was witchcraft. It was Pokemon cards and Harry Potter movies, things like that. And but it totally changed the child's life as far
as... What were his problems? Darcy, what were his problems? I've kind of forgotten.
He would have night terrors. He would wake up with really bad dreams, and when he didn't sleep at night, then he would go to school and, of course, get in trouble. He tended to be a little bit hyperactive, and so anyway, he was getting in trouble at school, having nightmares at home, and at one time, the physician decided that they'd put him on seizure medication, and which didn't work. And so one summer, they kept him on sedatives at night so he could sleep. And that summer, my sister-in-law said that she decided to try to take him off of that medicine, and he had a seizure. And a friend of hers said that, you know, it might not be medical, it might be spiritual. And so they made the appointment with you and brought him to see you. And when you prayed with him, the witchcraft spirit manifested. Now, I wasn't present at that. I just heard about it when I got home. And from that moment on, it changed our little nephew's life, and that he was no longer bothered with those terrors. But any time that he was exposed, if he went over to a friend's house, if he was exposed to the witchcraft in the Pokemon cards or watching Harry Potter movies or something like that, then he would have nightmares again. So we had, you know, physically seen it in our family. And then they both had prayer with you, the mom and the dad. And so this was, you know, it was several years before I came down and had prayer with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you discerned in me was, of course, you know, we always do the suspect list and list several things, but you discerned that the main demon that was with me was the spirit of fear. And so you did some sort of, I don't remember what you called it, but some sort of regression where you took me back to my first memories as a child and then brought me forward.
Mm-hmm.
And we held that fear captive. It manifested that night, and
it talked through you.
I could hear it. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I could hear it, but I was so distraught over the things that were going on in my life. I had decided, I would have never dreamed that it would have ever happened, that would have ever happened. But I was so tired of carrying the burdens around. And so I just kind of rolled back physically, and it talked to you, and you held it captive through the whole deliverance with me. And what had actually happened in my life that opened that door to fear was my mother had a real fiery temper. And when she would lose her temper, it would scare me. And so this happened, you know, who knows what my age was, probably two. I don't remember. I didn't have memories of then. But I remember being afraid of my mother when she would lose her temper. And so that fear had been there all those years. Because I had fear of confrontation, and I remember you asking fear, how many are in your house? No, I'll remember this for the rest of my life. And it said eight. And I thought, well, where in the world did that number come from? But after my deliverance and I got home, I looked at my suspect list. And under the heading fear, I had checked eight boxes under the fear.
Wow.
So I knew it was real. I knew it was real. And, you know, of course you have to fight them every day. And it's not every day, you know, if anything negative comes into your life. It's learning to give it to the Lord and not try to handle it yourself. And that is, it's hard to do. We all want to take the bull by the horn. But he can handle so much more than we can. And he always
does. Gosh, let me ask you a question about your fear. When it would come up on you, it's irrational. There's nothing anybody can say or any evidence or any fact that could alter that fear. It was just there.
It was there. Yeah, and it was coming out. It was manifesting in different ways. The main one was there was a lot of strife in my marriage, but it was like I couldn't. It was like I couldn't defend myself. And I fear of abandonment and fear of failure and fear of confrontation. It was just something that had plagued me. And to know me, you would never dream it. You know, if you knew me as a person, you would not ever suspect that it was there, but it was.
Would you identify it as tormenting?
I'm a strong lady. Huh?
Would you identify it as tormenting?
Yeah, it was I would have bad dreams and any time I have bad dreams since then, I always recognize and know where it came from. But it definitely did torment me, and it was kind of like it was leading my life, and I didn't like where it was going, but it was like I couldn't stop it. It was
hey,
like
Garcia, most people,
it was in charge.
Most people would never get any relief from that fear their whole life, shy of doing deliverance.
Exactly. I didn't know it was there. I had no idea. I had no idea it was there.
Did you feel as if you were on the outside looking in and unable to control the direction everything was going? But you knew
exactly.
It wasn't you, or you knew that maybe it shouldn't be going that direction, just had no control over it?
Exactly. It was like I couldn't stop it. It was like, you know, and I would think sometimes, well, why can't you defend yourself? You know, what is causing you just to accept this as your faith? And it was like I was paralyzed emotionally. And it was, you know, you get where you don't trust anyone or anything. And it was very, very tormenting to me.
But it had to make people around you pretty miserable, too.
Yes. I'm sure I did quite a bit to my husband.
You know, Chris, you've always had a way with that wit there.
Oh, yeah. Well, Garcia, I want to thank you for calling in and being a guest. We've got another caller on the line, someone calling in. But is there anything you'd like to close with before we let you go?
I'd just like to say it's real. It's real. It is no hocus pocus. I have certainly taken lots of my friends there. I'm definitely a witness to the reality that deliverance ministry is for Christians, and how much better your life can be with just a little training on how to recognize when the devil is trying to mess with you. And it gives you tools to use for the rest of your life, and it gave me discernment that I could see things in my friends that I knew were there, and many of them have gone on and gone to deliverance and had a release of that. So,
amen.
It's been a great thing in our life, and I would. I'm certainly glad that we found Everett and knew him, and he's blessed us, and the Lord has blessed us tremendously in all our endeavors.
Well good. Thank you very much, Garcia, and be blessed.
Thank you.
Thanks, Garcia.
Thank you, Everett.
Appreciate you.
And if you'd like to find out more about Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City, you can go to deliveranceusa.com, www.deliveranceusa.com. And, Richard, I believe we have a caller.
We do. Caleb, are you still on the line?
Sure am.
Yeah, here's Caleb from South Carolina, young man, been on the ministry for years. I remember him running around, 10, 12 years ago at some of the camps. But
I do, too.
Welcome to the program, Caleb.
Thanks, Richard. Thanks. Good evening, man, and I appreciate your intro. Well, I have to say, first off, praise the Lord. The Lord intended for me to tune in for the Wednesday night prayer meeting this evening, and it wasn't my intention to call in at all. I was going to listen and get inspired by the prayers of the men, and then I was going to tune out, you know, and get back to doing some other stuff. But then the next program came on, and I said, well, since they transitioned right in, I'll listen for a few minutes. And I've not turned it off yet. And I have to say, everything you've said in the last 45 minutes has incredibly opened my eyes. Everything that you've described is something that I've lived through in the last year. And there's a backstory to it. But I'll give it to you. A couple of years back, I developed an addiction of sorts, and it was something that I couldn't seem to shake. I mean, it was hard, of course, they all are, but it just kind of progressed and kept getting... I was on hill rides, you know, on roller coaster rides, and I thought it was going to get better, and it'd get worse, and like I said, it was ups and downs. But then in the summer of last year, I started to get this terrible feeling, you know, and and something was off in my spirit, and like you described earlier in the program, I thought it was me wanting to do terrible things to myself or something, and I was very puzzled about it all. And I'd wake up in the middle of the night, and I'd have nightmares, and I'd wake up in the middle of the night, be tormented by my what I thought was my own thoughts. But everything you've said here, it just makes me realize that was demon possession. And my mom got an interest in researching demons here toward the beginning of the year, and I'm starting to wonder whether or not that was the Lord's inspiration. I think it was. She told me a couple of weeks ago, I think you ought to go and have the church pray for you. And I really would appreciate the prayers of the church. And but anyway, thanks for this program. I mean, it's incredible. What I guess my question now is, what do I need to do to combat this stuff? I mean, I had a prayer a couple of weeks ago, and I feel tremendously better from my prayer. And I know that I must have prayed the right things. But what else can I do?
Well, Caleb, if I could answer that, what I would suggest you do, I take it you're online, right?
I'm out in my yard right now, if you're talking about at the moment.
No, I don't mean right now, but you have access to a computer.
Right.
Yeah, can go online. Okay. I would suggest you go to our website and go to the self-ministry page, click on that, and what you'll see are several steps that you can take a video, and you may have gotten some deliverance from, you know, deliverance happens all kinds of ways, but to be more complete, I would suggest you go through the teaching part that's on there, then the door closing prayer that is designed to close the typical 15 doors that Christians might have open. That doesn't mean a Christian would have every door open like that, but we find that those are the doors we recognize that evil spirits can come through to torment Christians. And so the prayer takes about 15 minutes of repeating. It's designed to break curses, generational curses, all kinds of satanic assignments, witchcraft curses, etc. That does a pretty good job of closing the typical door that a Christian might have open to be tormented. And then follow the other steps that are on there of actually going through deliverance. And I'm on that with a video, and I'll lead you through there of actually doing ministry. And I'll bet you'll be surprised how much you'll get overhauled. Amen?
I would say amen. And what is the website again?
It's deliveranceusa.com or org. O-R-G.
Okay.
Well, deliveranceusa.com takes you straight to the website in Oklahoma City. .org takes you to a landing page. And then you can go to the website in Oklahoma City. So either one will get you there.
All right. That sounds great. And I have to tell you, as Richard said, to introduce me, I've been raised in a very Christian family. I've grown up with Scriptures for America. I was fighting spiritual battles in my early teenage years, and I had a praying grandmother. My father has always been, on us, on his children, to keep us straight. And Scriptures for America has just been so good, as far as Pastor Peter's messages and the inspiring programs. And I kind of got off track, but this has been such an eye-opener. I'm so amazed at this program tonight. I mean, I've learned more in the last 40 minutes than in years' worth. I want to.
Well, you know, because you were raised the way you were raised, you are a target. Satan wants to kill, steal, and destroy, and if he can take you out, or if he can keep you off track for the rest of your life, then he thinks he succeeded. So go to deliveranceusa.com, go through the self-ministry, and then you can email Pastor Cox if you got any questions. You can even visit Oklahoma City and go through a deliverance session there on Monday night.
Okay.
If anyone out there would like to find out more, he's got an excellent book. Pastor Cox, would you like to talk about your book, your manual?
Yes. The book is available through Scriptures for America, Caleb. It's called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. It's Everett Cox, author Everett Cox. And you can also get it on our website or Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Kindle. But the steps that we've learned to do over these, 38 years that I've been doing it, are in that book, and they certainly are time-tested.
Okay. That sounds great.
Well, Caleb, thank you for calling in. I remember you. I remember the first time I met you in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yes, indeed. I remember your magic tricks, too, your sleight of hand. That was really cool.
Yeah, I don't do that anymore.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, and I'm going to get back to listening to y'all.
All right.
And God bless you, Caleb.
Well, thank everybody for listening tonight.
Yeah, guys, thanks again, and we're about out of time. Yeah, just last couple seconds here.
Well, blessings to everyone.
All right, blessings, Pastor. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like hope has died. But hope is alive, hope lives on, hope's not dead and hope's not gone. Just like a heart that beats in the night, there's still a beat. September morn, when the towers fell and all our hearts were torn, like the story of the man from Galilee, they were as innocent as could be. When the darkness came to take our hope away.